Chapter 21. May 9th of year 19. Marchenko 2. Sometimes you just have to wait and good things will happen. Just as Marchenko 2's fabricators finished making his weapon, he hears footsteps, irregular, as if the person is injured. What could this be? He wonders whether he should move forward and look around the corner where the side corridor meets the main passage. But then he might give himself away, losing his greatest advantage. Who knows how well the other person can hear? If his assumption is correct and the unknown opponent is really injured, where would injured creatures go to hide? In narrow side passages, where they are not immediately visible. Marchenko too prepares himself. He can flick his whip forward as soon as something comes around the corner. He will shoot first and ask questions later. While the metal wire is flying through the air, he can still modulate the current based on whom he is facing. It probably is Eve. The steps of the other Marchenko, and definitely those of the alien who uttered the scream, would be louder, he imagines. He is so excited he can barely contain himself. He has been waiting for so long to see Eve again. What is approaching him is definitely alone. If he is lucky, the other Marchenko and Eve have separated, unaware of any danger. Then he can grab Eve and return with her to Valkyrie right away, at least if she still has her pressure suit. Otherwise, he will have to create a new one for her. Then it would become more likely that he'd have to eliminate the other Marchenko because he cannot believe what he is seeing.
Adam!
Adam? Where did he come from? How did he manage to escape Valkyrie? Marchenko, too, knows he must not hesitate. The whip lashes out and wraps around Adam's legs as fast as lightning. He has selected the lowest current strength, yet Adam topples like a chopped down tree, while a large lump of metal slides from his hands. This is the object he himself had found down in the garbage dump. Adam must have had an important reason to carry it along all the way, because the thing is heavy. He cannot ask him right now because he is unconscious. Marchenko too comes closer to examine him. He turns Adam's head to the side. On his forehead, he sees a heavily bleeding laceration. He orders some nanofabricators to close the wound. How did the boy manage to follow him? He almost admires Adam, even though he is also angry about his disobedience. He will have to teach his children respect, because the other Marchenko seems to have neglected to do that. One should not confuse love with tolerating disrespect. Adam is no longer wearing a pressure suit. He probably took it off because of its weight. His body's core temperature is slightly elevated. He must have really exerted himself during the last 12 hours. No wonder, Marchenko too thinks. After all, he has been pursuing me. He also sees a wound on Adam's wrist. It is a cut, covered by a thin film to stop the bleeding. One moment, Marchenko too thinks, as he scratches off a piece of the film and analyzes it. The structure was definitely created by fabricators. Adam does not possess any, so he must have met the other Marchenko. No, this can't be true. He himself did not encounter the other Marchenko, but Adam somehow found him? Wait, could his alter ego have been B? Inside the lump of metal he left behind? Marchenko, too, knows now he obviously made a big mistake. Luckily, everything turned out all right, because the other robot still seems to be in a dismal state. He obviously needed to absorb energy first. The two of them must have tried to find a sheltered spot in this side corridor so the other Marchenko could take his time to repair his body. Well, that's over now. Marchenko, too, ties Adam's legs firmly, so he won't be able to run away after awakening. Then he approaches the fragment of scrap that once was a robot. Now, finally, he will turn it into a mere piece of trash. He just has to hit it for a while with his whip. A few seconds at the highest level, and all circuits of the AI's computing unit will melt into a useless lump. Whoever said an artificial intelligence could not die? He will soon demonstrate that the opposite is true. It is amazing, he thinks, that in the end, biological and artificial intelligences are so similar. Any consciousness will disappear if its physical foundation is taken away.
Don't do it, Marchenko.
The piece of scrap can talk, at least for now. How do you know what I am planning to do?
I saw how you brought down Adam.
The boy is fine, don't worry. I took care of his head wound.
But what will he say when he wakes up and I am gone?
He will get used to it.
Wait a moment.
He has an idea that will make his alter ego's death even more painful. He won't even notice it. I will copy your structure. That's easy, as it only has to be external.
Then I can take your place once and for all. He likes this plan enormously. He just has to keep Adam unconscious until the transformation is finished. Then he will wake him and tell him how he managed to finally defeat the evil Marchenko, Marchenko 2, as they had labeled him. Afterward, they just have to find Eve. She will be so happy to see Adam again that she will gladly come back to Valkyrie. But what is the purpose of it all? His alter ego realizes what Marchenko 2 is up to, and now he wants to stall him for as long as possible. Perhaps he hopes that Eve will appear in the nick of time to rescue him, or that some miracle will happen. It does not matter, Marchenko 2 answers. You are just stalling for time. Maybe I should tell you what Adam and I talked about during the last few hours, and what Eve and I experienced. Otherwise, the two of them will be suspicious right away. This won't be their first time to have you pretending to be me. A clever approach. And you would do that?
Do I have a choice?
At least I can prolong my life that way. By a few minutes.
So you agree?
Just get started. Marchenko, too, is a bit annoyed that his alter ego managed to persuade him to delay his plan. Yet this issue of credibility is a valid one. There's only one problem. He cannot know whether he is being told lies. However, he does not think that Marchenko would do this. It is only natural he would want to delay his death. He definitely would not want Adam and Eve to be unhappy after his death. If Marchenko too had to make that same decision, he would do anything to make life as difficult as possible for his opponent, even after his own death. He would die happy if he could be certain of that. Nevertheless, he trusts this Marchenko to tell him the truth. That is crazy, considering they were created from the same electronic substance. Adam and Eve are not related to each other, but he and this Marchenko are like identical twins separated at birth who discover 20 years later that they developed very differently. Therefore, he listens to the Marchenko in the lump of metal and integrates what he hears into his own memories. Once he finishes this process, he won't even know that these are not his own recollections. About 10 minutes have passed. And then we arrived in this side corridor. You know the rest, says the piece of scrap, which soon will be a glowing heap of burned circuits. Thanks, it's been fun talking with you. Do you have any ideas concerning life after death? Now the other Marchenko is getting too garrulous. Life after death, that is ridiculous. Marchenko too does not articulate this thought. Instead, he checks the charge level of the whip. Then he examines Adam again, but he is not moving at all. He must make sure Adam does not witness this. It is very much like murder, after all, he thinks, and then wonders why this does not bother him more. Is that abnormal? Is he sick? He feels very healthy. He is really looking forward to the time with Adam and Eve. They had been taken from him for such a long time. At first, he will treat them the way their Marchenko would, and then he will tighten the reins gradually, so it won't be noticeable. This will seem like a normal process to the children, and it really will do them good. Suddenly, a deep, booming voice interrupts his musings.
What is located there?
Behind him, no more than a meter and a half away, stands a huge brown-skinned creature that looks rather like a frog, with two legs and four arms, but without a head. Marchenko, too, knows right away that this must be the alien who uttered the scream earlier. One of its giant dark eyes stares at him, and two of its four hands hold a weapon obviously aimed at him. Now Marchenko too is glad he has not yet used the whip. He lashes out with it against the alien's skin. He chooses maximum current strength, and the wire is glowing. The hot metal burns itself into the alien's skin. Its limbs jerk. Marchenko too sees how all four hands try to grasp the weapon's handle, where the trigger must be located, but the electrical energy makes the extraterrestrial lose control of its limbs. One of the arms involuntarily tosses the weapon in a high forward arc into the main corridor. A slimy mass oozes out between the frog's legs. The alien utters a horrifying, resounding scream. Then it falls backwards. Its arms and legs tremble, the scream fades, and the terrible creature is dead.